Hello and welcome to the Parking Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the $100 billion parking industry and the people that make it go. I'm your host, Isaiah Mal, and this is the Parking Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Parking Podcast. Today we have the extremely talented Jeff Powell with Impark. Jeff, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, Isaiah. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I was thinking the other day how we connected about the podcast. I was telling you about this podcast. I said, it's called the Parking Podcast. I sent you the information. You looked it up and noticed my website was parkingcast.com. And you were like, you know, I own the Parking Podcast. And I was so mad at you because when I went to buy this domain earlier this year, it said the Parking Podcast is taken. Do you want to make an offer? I was like, who would buy the parkingpodcast.com? Who's this evil genius out there? And then I realized of all the people in the industry, of course, it would be Jeff that would buy the podcast. But I guess I can let our listeners know you did volunteer. You transfer that over to me. So I'll be making that change here in the near future. But I thought that was a funny story.
Yeah, no, it was one of those cases a couple of years ago. I'd had that idea because it's great what you're doing, because I think there definitely is a demand to have intelligent conversations and open conversations about what's happening in parking and mobility. And I'm just happy, to be able to contribute and, for you, who's taking the initiative to actually go out and do it. So props to you really for making it happen.
We have a good topic about digital marketing today. So before we jump into that though, I think our listeners are going to love that. You are with Impark. I know a lot about this company because we work for a family of brands, and we work for the same company now, so to speak, with one team here with five different brands, but a great company where they've been around pretty long time.
Yep, since 1962. So that puts us at, 57 years now.
Wow, 57. That's crazy. And where are you based out of, Jeff? I know it's in Canada. Where are you at now?
Yep. So I started with the company 13 years ago in Vancouver. And then I relocated to our downtown Toronto office last April. So I've been here now 15 months. And the real reason has been, I like to joke with people, is that I sensed that it was I was coming to a winning town, and now in just over a year's time, I can say I'm in a city of champions here now with our with our Toronto Raptors. So it's been a great ride personally here in Toronto and professionally, of course, too.
No, congratulations. Yeah, I was a lot of my teammates there in Impark in Toronto. I've been emailing and just happy for my colleagues in Toronto and really the company and really the whole country. I think I saw some stat that they said an estimated 8% of the Canadian population was at the Toronto parade to celebrate the Raptors. I was like, man, talk about, a sports team, helping or bringing back to a community. That's an amazing story. Good for Toronto. And knowing Impark, I remember when we merged, we were all kind of maybe nervous, but such a great culture. And I think the world of the people there at Impark, and just we've been working together with open arms the past few years. So you are a digital marketing manager with Impark. So I guess break that down for us. I know Impark now with all these partner companies, one of the largest parking companies in the world, if not ever. So what is your role? What do you do as the digital marketing manager?
Yeah, so I lead the digital marketing for Impark across Canada and the U.S. And so where the conversation of my mission has evolved, so basically what I do here with my team is we try and show up online when people are looking for parking or they're going through that online mobility journey, and then we're convincing them to park with us. So it's really as simple as that. And so one of the things, and it's been interesting to see this conversation evolve, is this idea that a lot of people are going online to actually look for parking options before they make that decision to park at a location. The majority of our business that we're seeing in terms of engagement that's happening online and people coming to our lots through our online presence is driven by proximity. And so people, when they're circling the lots or they're in the transportation mode, they're looking for a location, they're turning to their phone or their navigation system to find parking. That's probably the number one driver. And then it's followed by, we've got certain verticals like airports is a big one, and then also event-related parking. So for our sports landmarks, significant properties that are around sporting landmarks and entertainment landmarks, people are making those decisions and searching for parking before they get into their car. And so in cases like that, you know, if you think about ticket prices for concert or events and how expensive things can be, it's not necessarily a regular occurrence that they're getting involved in. They're spending a lot of money on those tickets. And so there's planning that's going into those activities and journeys that they're doing. And the work that we've been doing at Impact to make sure that we're embedding ourselves into those journeys has been paying off with big dividends, huge increases year over year. And it's actually been super exciting to be a part of.
Wow. So, and I heard a joke recently. Do you know where the best place to hide a dead body is? Do you know the answer to that?
You know what? I've heard it, but I can't think of the answer here.
It's the second page of the Google results.
So
I guess that's your mission, is that when someone Googles for parking in such and such city, I guess you're battling to ensure that your in-park garages show up first ahead of the other private or public, or you know, want to make sure your clients' garages come first. Is that the long and short of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing, I mean, the joke still remains, but the interesting thing about trends that have been happening on Google is that there's more and more that's being inserted into Google search results. And so, you know, just from an eyeball test, if you look back at any search results for anything that you've been typing in, whether it's, you know, you're looking up sports or you're looking up for parking, the types of results that you're getting are changing. And there's a lot of ads that are coming in, the way that Maps is showing up within search results. These things are constantly changing. And so it's getting more and more to the point where the joke could end up being, if you're showing up on the second scroll of the first page within Google, you could hide a dead body there. So it's really a fight for the top as consumers you know, are looking for faster answers to their questions. And the search engine, you know, Google continues to provide those answers in a quick way. So it's you know, continues to be a number one priority to get as high as possible in those search results for as many types of search keywords as possible.
And I'm assuming that you're getting more data that you could pass back to the client. Is that the case? I mean, are you able to tell where the people are coming from that are searching for parking in their city, or the demographics about the person that's searching for parking, or is that not something that's available?
So yeah, absolutely. I mean, demographics is a part of it. We can get to know geo locations as well, the types of keywords that people are putting in to find their specific locations. And so you might know anecdotally that different parking lots and different garages will have completely different audiences. And it's related to location, of course, pricing, what's the value that they're getting out of the location. And in some cases, what we're finding with the keywords is that we're finding opportunities to find partners in the proximity of these garages that we may not necessarily know otherwise that people are parking there for that reason. So a good example was in one of our major cities, we had a garage that we wanted to put some promotions around. And so what we did is we reviewed the analytics. And one of the things that the keywords was showing us is that we were getting a lot of search traffic coming to the location. So the online profile, because they were looking for museum parking. And so there was a museum nearby. It was about 3 or 4 blocks away, but it was the sort of opportunity that wasn't immediately obvious to the people that were closest with the property. So we talked about the account management team or even the property management team. It's not necessarily a consideration that was obvious to them, because of course the building that we were looking at had all sorts of amenities. And so these are the sorts of discoveries that we can have and be able to provide clients. The other thing that we can do is we can look at daily statistics. And so one of the things that we've been doing, and it always plays well in a presentation, I'll say, is to be able to go in and ask the client themselves, what do you think the most popular day for online search as it related to your location was? And so a great example was, again, we had a major client, it was a retail client, and was guessing all sorts of days. And so what they were saying was Black Friday, New Year's Eve, Boxing Day. And in that case, it was the Saturday after Black Friday. And so it was a case of, as Black Friday has evolved within retail, what's happened, at least in Canada, so this was a Canadian location, is that those sales ended up going throughout the weekend. And so people were starting to say, hey, well, we don't have to drive down to this location on the Friday and take the day off because it's not a holiday up here in Canada. We can actually just go on Saturday. So there's already a lot of traffic going on Saturday, but it was boosted exponentially just by the deals that were happening. So these sorts of anecdotes are things that we can provide and then prepare us for the following year. So there's also a bit of a yield management metric that we can look at as well in terms of getting an idea of the scope of the interest in parking at our facilities.
That's really cool. I'm also assuming that you could probably, I don't know if you're doing this anywhere, but you could probably influence behavior. Maybe you have one garage that's overfilling. People are always ticked off because they can never find the space. So maybe when someone searches for parking at a certain museum, you can show maybe a secondary garage that isn't as busy first and try to push people towards that one. Is that possible?
Absolutely. I mean, there's all sorts of tactics that we can do. And so, you know, just to get into, you know, as I push up my glasses on my end, up my nose, technical things that we can do in terms of looking at keyword opportunities and then launching, you know, looking into paid options to get visibility for those keywords. And so just bringing that down, if museum parking, just to make it super broad, if we wanted to target museum parkers in Toronto, we're looking for terms that would revolve around people looking for that in the city. So it's a matter of identifying what those opportunities are and then targeting them in the location where it matters. So like a big part of our business and the industry is just making sure that we're targeting people in the moment that it matters and where they are. So, you know, someone who's looking for coffee in Chicago is not necessarily interested in Toronto search results. And so, you know, one of the amazing opportunities that I've had and my team has had here at Impark is being able to have access to such a huge inventory of locations, parking lots and garages across both countries, and then take on the challenge of trying to market to people in those markets. And the interesting thing is that people behave differently in different markets. Like a great example, you know, just to throw anecdotes around, you know, in some locations, we find that people are more prone to looking for parking earlier in the journey. And so, for instance, Vancouver and Minneapolis, so a Canadian city and a US city, for instance, we found in our data that the highest number of requests for directions to our facilities in the downtown area, when we looked at it across the board, was the day before the season opener of both of those hockey teams. And so, you know, it's correlations that we're looking for. We can't, obviously, we can't sort of get into the minds of those people to understand exactly what their intentions are. But it's a matter of investigating what's happening in those cities and finding those differences.
And I saw on your website now with all the recent mergers that there's over 5,000 parking facilities. So you definitely have your work cut out for you there.
That's right. And so so while we predominantly focus on Impark, of course, we've got Republic Parking that we've been working with. And as the merger has taken place, you know, we've started to work with people on your team to get some of the linear parking locations up. So that's actually brought us into to new markets that we haven't necessarily had overwhelming access to in the past. So Atlanta is a great example with linear that we're just starting to peel the onion on that. So it's exciting to be a part of it because, you know, when it comes down to it, the thing that drives me is just understanding people's intentions and getting a peek in terms of the motivations of people and how they move around. And so parking is very much a part of people's lives in the sense that we're there to facilitate where they're coming and where they're going. And so in terms of the, not to wax too poetic on it, but you know, like the sociological pie, we've got a bit of a piece of that. And I think that's really interesting. And it's one of the things that drives me. And outside of the business perspective, just getting a peek at that to me is super interesting.
Yeah, we oversee a lot of seasonal kind of operations, tourist locations, you know, kind of beach parking areas. And I think that the big cities, more people are Googling for parking. Small towns, you know, usually there's parking, you just pull up, you're not planning as much. But I think that they always want to know, where are people coming from? That's the biggest question. They want to know, people that are coming to town to spend time at their beaches or areas, they want to know where they're from. And I thought you have a really good tool here to offer that. So I got a question for you. There's some great companies like Parkopedia and ParkMe, now InRex, but they're trying to aggregate as every parking garage in the world so that they can provide this to the vehicle companies out there or sell to TomTom or different maps. So how does kind of what you're doing at InPark differ from what a Parkopedia or ParkMe is doing?
So yeah, so ultimately what we're trying to do is to get our locations on what I call the battleground. So the first and foremost and the foundation of what we do is making sure that our locations are current and up to date on Google Maps. And so it's the largest travel navigation platform in the world. I think something like 1 billion users worldwide. And it's something that's expanding like crazy. And so Google actually, of course, bought Waze a couple of years ago. And so they've also been integrating businesses that appear on Google Maps. And so in terms of where my team can offer the best bets in terms of reaching people in the moments that matter, Google Maps is the first and foremost place that we're looking at. And so, you know, the difference with Parkopedia and the vendors that you're talking about is that they're trying to get they're getting the information that we already have on us in our systems. And they're working with companies like us to get that information and to be able to provide that in their travel navigation systems to provide the best experience possible. So part of that for us is we have that information. And so what my team is responsible for is just trying to engage a platform directly to get that information up.
Just a funny story for you. So I was managing a city's parking, man, probably 10 years ago. And, you know, we had cell phones and Google Map, but when you would search for parking, they didn't have garages on Google Maps. And I thought, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to be the hero. And I can't remember. It was way over my head, but I filled out forms. And like the last step was they had to mail something to me, but it wasn't like a real address. So I could never finish it because parking garage didn't have a physical mailing address. So I don't know if you remember those days or there's still something similar to verify the actual parking garage. But
no, 100%. Yeah, no, I went through that in the very early days. And so one of the things about what we've been doing, and I've sort of wear it like a badge around anyone who will listen to me here in the in the company, is we've been doing this for a very long time. So I'd say we started doing this somewhere in and around 2013, getting this. And so it was very much, you know, that first step was doing the process that you're talking about. There's two ways. You could receive a phone call or you could have something mailed to you to get verification. So you get a little pin and then you would verify it on the page. But for exactly the reasons that you're describing, like a lot of the locations up here in some of our major Canadian markets are just metered locations where there's not anybody to receive those cards or take a phone call. So there were some rough patches in the early days. We kind of slogged through it. And so where we are now is that we actually have what I call white label access to get these locations up and to edit them. And so, you know, effectively, you know, my team's been able to bypass those types of verifications. And, you know, that's something that's been amazing for us to be able to get through that, because I still hear those stories. And I do know that verification method that you talked about still exists for individual locations, regardless of industry today. And so, you know, one of the value propositions that we have, and it might sound basic, but you know, we can solve those issues for property managers or clients that are having those challenges. And I recently had a conversation with one of our EVPs about this. A major I'm gonna just say major three times, but a significant client or prospect, you know, I was able to go and review their locations and know that they have been unable to claim their location. So they currently have no control over their location listings. And so I sort of planted that seed in our EVP's head to have that conversation with the prospective client. Their feedback was that they've had some challenges with Google getting that verification process. And you know, my personal feeling is that it comes down to exactly what you got. And I, if we're talking about, which is this this postcard yep. verification method. And, you know, it's a case of, well, sign the deal on the the dotted line, and we'll resolve this for you immediately. So it seems simple, wow. But you know, you got major clients with significant revenue coming in that have been unable to sort of do this on their own. And that's where we, you know, one of the things that we can come in and do and effectively get going and build for our clients.
Well, I got two comments. So yeah, that's, you're right. It was, that's what it was. A postcard with the pin, and I just needed that pin to plug in to get it activated. And I know why they do it now. You know, I listened to a podcast once about, and this happened to me personally. I Googled, I need a locksmith, right? And so these people put up these fake locksmith locations in your city. So I live in Chattanooga. I would Google locksmith Chattanooga. And there's these companies that just put up fake places that don't have a physical address. You call them and they say, yeah, it's $300. And they have these almost crowdsourcing, I don't know if that's the word, but these students that they'll pay $50 to go and change your lock, and they're not professional locksmiths, and it's terrible and it's creepy. And so I understand the importance of verifying address, and it makes sense. And then the second thing is, yeah, I mean, you guys have been doing this for so long, you're just light years ahead of the competition. And I know, I think I got this stat from one of your presentations, but it was some 75% of people that conduct a local search on their phone end up visiting that place within 24 hours. So you want to be not on the second page where you can hide a dead body and get away with it, but you want to be the number one source. So well done to you and Impark and all that you're doing in the digital marketing world. I guess what would be your final comments to someone, to a parking garage owner that doesn't have a digital marketing strategy?
Yeah, you know what I would say, just getting on the stat that you had referenced here. So that was something that we had grabbed from Google. Google's got a blog called Think with Google, which has been a great resource in terms of understanding general trends for online search. And so the thing with us and the thing with parking and our experience is that there hasn't been a ton of information within our industry historically about what we're doing. And the truth is, and this is something I've been totally open about with people I talk to, is that what we know and what we've based it on has come in great part from reading about the evolution of retail online. So at its very basic core, you know, we have a similarity, and what we're trying to do is link people from their search interests online, so what they're typing into their phone, and get them to our brick and mortars location. And so I spent most of my time, many years, and I still continue to read thought leadership pieces on digital marketing as it relates to the retail industry. And so where I would bridge that in terms of your direct question is that the truth is that there's some misinformation out there as it relates to the parking experience. And then there's a real vacuum in terms of there not being information available and that's directly applicable to the experience of parking and mobility. And so one of the luxuries that I have, and again, I feel fortunate for being a part of, is that we've got information that nobody else has. We've, because of our inventory, we understand major markets better than other companies. We've got information related to these search behaviors that no other company has. And so, you know, prospects can come to us and we can have intelligent and informed conversations about online user experience and how to get and reach the audiences that matter most to our property management clients. And so we hold a lot of cards, and we've got a lot of a great ability to be able to action the things that we talk about. And so I think there's great opportunities for property managers, especially even ones that don't know, you know they want to get out there, but they don't know where to start. You know, we have these conversations day and night, and we're always happy to take those phone calls and start, you know, laying the groundwork by showing them what's happening and what we can do for them.
That's a great answer. And how can listeners learn more about Impark?
Yeah, so impark.com is our website. So we've got our information on there, of course, information on all of our verticals, as well as all of our parking locations. So you can get an idea of what our size is in different locations. And then also as it relates to digital marketing, you can head to imparkdigital.com. So, and then I'll forward you to our landing page, which has just a broad overview of information.
Very nice. And before we jump off, I like to always ask people when I meet them, kind of what do they do for fun? And I remember when we first met, you said, oh, you know, I'm a musician, used to play in a band, and kind of pretty humble about it. And then preparing for this podcast, you know, I did my research and your LinkedIn and learned all about your band, Fine Times. I'm like, dude, this is legit. Like, you were like a real, not like a garage band. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, people have their pastime, they're fun. But, you know, I was looking at some of the awards nominated for, what was it, the Record of the Year or the Emerging Artist of the Year by Sirius XM Radio. And you've toured and played with big bands such as Vampire Weekend, who's now hot right now because they just released a new album. But man, that's pretty cool. So I guess tell us a little bit about that. How, you know, is it you've been playing instruments your whole life, or, you know, how did this evolve?
Yeah, so I'll just preface that there. We definitely didn't tour with Vampire Weekend, although that would have been amazing. We did, we played on the same festival as they did, which was the Squamish Festival based out of Squamish, BC. But we had an opportunity to play with a lot of great bands. I spent 10 years seriously pursuing music, and I had a lot of great successes, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of the cliche stories that you read about or see in any biopic.
The van breaking down and not being able to get to your show and having no money.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, like getting signed to record deals and then having that go south, you know, the champagne parties for signing those deals and then things happen. So, but we had a great, great run. And so it was a partnership with one of my friends. And we did that together for many years. And so, like I say, we were fortunate to do some touring and get out there. And music's still something that I'm interested in. It hasn't been a focused, so much the last couple of years, but it's been something that I've been grateful for, and people that I've been able to meet, you know, heroes in music. I've been able to work with award-winning producers in crazy expensive studios. So those sorts of things, you know, I look back on fondly and, you know, continue to sort of hold that as I sort of move on in my career.
Very nice. And what instrument, because I probably say instruments with you, you're probably that guy that plays like 10 instruments, but I watched a YouTube video and I don't know a lot about music, but it looked like some xylophone and you're playing keyboard, you're playing like these different instruments.
Yeah. So I played a few different instruments. I was predominantly a bassist, but I wrote music mostly on guitar and keyboard. So the last, So we did a couple of tours over in Germany, and the last tour that we had done, we played with a smaller lineup than normal, and so I ended up getting relegated to keyboards. And so, you know, my joke about going to Germany is that I'm a keyboardist in Germany, but over in North America, I'm a I'm a bassist. So strictly for the German market, I would say I'm a keyboardist. So,
oh, that's great. So, thank you so much, Jeff. I know you said you like to listen to thought leaders, and just so you know, you're in that territory now. You're a thought leader. You're speaking on podcasts. I've heard you present, so I think we can add that to your name. And again, to our listeners, Impark, a great company. I know from experience working with them now, but Impark.com, or was it ImparkDigital.com or Digital Impark?
ImparkDigital.com.
ImparkDigital. Or you can do what we just talked about and Google it. So so there you go. But Jeff, thank you so much, man. We had a blast, and our listeners are really going to enjoy listening to this.
Hey, thank you, Isaiah.
Have a great week. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Parking Podcast. Please leave us a review and tell a friend about our show. It would mean a lot. This has been a production of Synchronicity Media, produced by me, Isaiah Mao. Our music and score is by Zona. Our show art and design is by the talented Allison Gilley. You can follow us on social media at The Parking Podcast, or you can find our website with bonus content at parkingcast.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.